Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Sunday School podcast for May 5th, 2024, the sixth Sunday of Easter. And today, as we continue to follow the CPH textbook 120 Bible stories, we look at the Bible story Rahab Hides the Spies in the textbook that's on page 70. And this covers the events found in Joshua chapters 1 and 2. So, at the end of Deuteronomy, last week we covered the death of Moses. His death was necessary before Israel could cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. And so, last time we heard of Moses' death and burial by God. And of course, before Moses died, he and Joshua stood before the Lord, and the Lord designated Joshua as Moses' successor, as leader of the people of Israel. So now, as the book of Joshua begins for us, we pick up in chapter 1, verse 1, reading, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" So the theme of be strong and courageous continues. Moses exhorted Joshua to be strong and courageous at the end of Deuteronomy, and now the Lord tells him once again to be strong and courageous three times, and also promises that the Lord will go with him wherever Joshua goes. So as it's finally time to cross the Jordan and face the inhabitants of Canaan that God says they must drive out, the Lord begins this commission of Joshua with a promise. As he is sending Joshua, so he will go with Joshua. He will grant him the strength and the courage, and through Joshua the people shall receive the gift of the promised land. In the rest of Joshua chapter 1, Joshua marshals the people and prepares them to cross the Jordan into the promised land. This also includes the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And that's an important note because their share of the promised land as divided by Moses is on the side of the Jordan they're currently on. So Joshua says, even though your land is here, you'll cross the Jordan with the rest of us, and you will also go to battle to conquer the inhabitants of the promised land. And they agree to go along with the rest of Israel for the conquest. So the crossing of the Jordan is to take place in 3 days' time. In the meantime, Joshua sends spies into the land to check out especially the city of Jericho. So we read in Joshua 2, verse 1, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, 'Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' Yeah. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out." So the two spies go to Jericho. They enter the house of Rahab the prostitute, which I suppose is a place where men would be coming and going at all hours of the day and night, so it is probably good cover for them to seek out and also to get more information. When the king sends to Rahab to reveal the two spies, so she hides them, and she lies to the king that they have left. We don't know why yet, other than that she's hid them on the roof under stalks of flax. And now we find out why in verses 8 and following. We read, "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men said to her, 'Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you.'" So why is Rahab kind to the two spies? Why does she lie to her own king and protect them? Because she and all of Jericho have heard the word of the Lord. They've heard that the Lord has brought his people out of Egypt across the wilderness. They've heard how under the Lord's protection and power, they've defeated Sihon and Og, those two kings of the Amorites. And despite the great walls of their city, the people of Jericho are terrified. But while most of them are terrified and despairing and apparently have no hope, Rahab instead sees hope that perhaps this powerful, mighty God might in fact spare her and her family. So having heard the word of the Lord, she reacts in faith and protects the spies, risking her life and the life of her family, asking the spies to remember her and to spare her family when, in fact, not if, but when, the city falls. Now, one more thing here. When Rahab speaks to the spies, she recalls the Lord drying up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 years before. So it's not exactly front page news anymore. But the people of Canaan, including the citizens of Jericho, have apparently been keeping tabs on the adventures and the journey of Israelites for four decades. And so they have a good record of the Lord's protection and deliverance of his people. So this too explains the people's fear. It wasn't just the defeat of Sion and Og, but the Lord's continued protection of his people, even when they were known to be rebellious against him. All right, so the spies have pledged their lives to save Rahab and her family. And we read in verse 15, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, 'Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way.' The men said to her, 'We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then, if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear.' And she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window." So this is kind of the nuts and the bolts of the deal. For Rahab to be protected, the spies have to get back to Joshua and say, "Spare Rahab and her family." So she advises them to stay out of the way for 3 days, hiding until the pursuers return, and then to return to Joshua. And they declare that they will tell Joshua and the people of Israel to spare Rahab's house as long as she and her family stay inside her home, and as long as she doesn't reveal to the rest of Jericho, the king and the like, what the spies have been up to. So the deal is made. They give her a scarlet cord to mark her window. She lets them down a rope, and they disappear into the night. So we read for the rest of Joshua chapter 2, verses 23 through 24. "They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us.'" So the spies return, they give the report. And remember, spies went into the land 40 years before. Joshua was one of them, along with his companion Caleb. And when they came back and gave the report, Israel panicked and said, "We're not going in there, they'll kill us." This time around, after 40 years, the spies report that the word has spread. The people of Canaan are afraid of the Lord, and it's time for them to cross the Jordan and attack. So that's the story for today. Joshua sends two spies. They stay at Rahab's house. She hides them. They work out a deal, and they come back. So it's pretty straightforward. Does any of this point to Christ? And there are actually a few things in the story that do in fact point to Christ. First off, remember once again that Joshua is a type of Christ. The Lord declares that through Joshua the people will receive their inheritance, the promised land. And remember again, Joshua, the Hebrew name translated into Greek, is in fact Jesus. So through Joshua, the Israelites receive the promised land because their enemies are conquered. Through Jesus, we receive the kingdom of heaven because he conquers our enemies. Among those who are going to be God's people are Rahab and her family. Rahab seems an unlikely individual to become part of the story of God's people. She's a Gentile. She's a prostitute. That seems like strikes one and two. But this choosing of Rahab by God for this story is, in fact, part of a theme called the Great Reversal. And that is that the people you most expect to follow God often don't, and the people you least expect to follow God often do. Or the people whom you would least expect God to use become instruments of God, and the people you most expect God to use do not. This is often most apparent in the Gospels, where the people who should most be ready to follow Jesus are the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the guys who know the scriptures well. They reject Jesus, but the poor, the lame, the tax collectors and sinners are the ones who follow Jesus and are saved. When Mary sings her Magnificat because she is with child with the Son of God, with Jesus, she sings about how God remembers the lowly and exalts them, but the rich he sends empty away. This theme of the Great Reversal is also apparent here in Joshua. Of all the people to become a hero of the story of Israel conquering the Promised Land, Rahab, the prostitute of Jericho, and yet she becomes part of the story, and a good part of the story. In fact, we find out in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, that Rahab marries into the family line, and she is, in fact, an ancestor of Jesus. In fact, keeping Rahab the prostitute in mind, consider Jesus' words to the unbelieving chief priests and elders in Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32, where he says, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him." So as Jesus chides the chief priests and the elders for not believing in him while tax collectors and prostitutes do, Rahab is an excellent foil to the unbelieving Israelites in the wilderness. The people of Israel who should have believed and marched into Canaan 40 years before, they all lie dead in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, is the one who believes the word of God and becomes part of Jesus' ancestral line. Third, when the Lord exhorts Joshua to be strong and courageous, to cross the Jordan, to lead the people into the Promised Land and go to battle, you could well hear that exhortation as a type of God the Father sending his Son for our redemption. As God puts Joshua over the nations of Canaan, the Father puts his Son over the nations in Psalm chapter 2, in both cases so that his people might receive their inheritance. No one can prevent either Joshua or Jesus from accomplishing their work, because they do their work with God's blessing according to his word. God is sending Joshua across the Jordan to accomplish his will. It's when Jesus is baptized in the same Jordan River that God the Father declares, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so in a sense, it is at Jesus' baptism at the Jordan when he is commissioned to deliver the people, at least publicly. The outcome of both God and man bidding Joshua to be strong and courageous is not just that Joshua is a fine example of strength and courage, but remember, he's a type of Christ, so ultimately, as God bids Joshua to be strong and courageous, so he bids us to be strong and courageous in Jeshua, in Jesus, for Jesus is our strength and our courage. Couple more things that point us to Christ in this. Rahab hides the spies under stalks of flax. Now, we've talked about the word etz before, that all-purpose word that means tree and wood and wooden tools and clubs and things like that. So eventually the word etz in Hebrew becomes a word for the cross as well. When Rahab hides the spies under stalks of flax, the Hebrew says she hides the spies under etzes of flax. So once again, we have this word that later on points to the cross. So is it too much to say that the spies are hidden, they are sheltered from harm and protected because they are under the etz, under the cross? It's a stretch, I've got to admit, but still that word etz is there. And if it reminds us that we are sheltered and protected by God under the cross of Jesus, then blessed are we for thinking that way. This final type is a little bit stronger, though. The spies give to Rahab a scarlet cord, a scarlet rope with which she is to mark her home when the time of invasion comes. That word scarlet there, that's the word in Hebrew that means that that rope is dyed with the blood of the worm called the Coccus illicis in Latin. That's probably the worst pronunciation ever. But that's the worm's blood that is used to make scarlet or crimson or purple clothing. So the purple robe that Jesus wears during his passion is dyed with the same worm's blood as this rope is. And when Jesus is compared to a worm in Psalm 22, verse 6, he's compared to this kind of worm. Psalm 22, 6 says of Jesus, "I am a worm and no man." So there's this little hint here of Jesus in that Rachel's home is protected by this scarlet rope. So her home is marked by blood, by the blood of this worm to which Jesus is later compared in Psalm 22. So Rahab and her family are safe in this home marked by blood as long as they don't venture out. I suppose we could say that we are safe, marked by the blood of Christ, as long as we remain in his household, the household of faith, the church. All right, so that's a quick look at this, again, very straightforward story. Rahab hides the spies in Joshua chapter 1 and 2. God grant you every good gift as you meditate upon this text further. God grant you every blessing if you're teaching it to others. And until we speak again, the Lord order your days and your deeds in his peace. Amen.